Can you move the application process? Honorable members, it's not the topic of this meeting. But what is one action? Page 16. I think it's just an administrative information taken from the departmental annual report and other reports that have been submitted before to this committee. But what is important in this report is that we need to look at the recommendations. What is it that you are recommending after the discussions that we had with the department and the entity? So the recommendations are very much important. Those are the ones that we need to consider. Then I will request members that we start from page 16 and up to the last page, which is page 21. Honorable, you will sit down.
Thank you, sir. Let's look at page 5. Though this is the communal land bill. I know we're not yet there, you know, but just to raise a little bit of concern about the possible implications when that bill comes to us, whether we feel comfortable with the main intention of the bill insofar as the Ngonyama land is concerned. The thing about the social and political consequences of what this bill would have. Knowing what were the reasons for the Ngonyama land to be legislated in 1994. I know that the bill is not yet in front of us, but I think there's one to express ourselves that way.
Thank you very much. I think we can't express ourselves on something that is not before us. Because we don't know even the content of that bill. So we'll wait for that bill to be tabled, then we have time to discuss it. Honorable Walters?
Chair, just I know slightly off the topic as well. We're also looking at the restitution of land rights agreement for private members in that regard. And I'm just wondering whether we as a commission, I'm for starters, I've made sure that I understand the way that the private members bill is working, what the consultation process is around. So I just think at some stage, sooner rather than later, we need to just get a briefing as a committee as to exactly what that process will entail as well. It's not the same as a normal bill. I understand that it's a bit different from the normal legislation, but I also think that's going to impact later on the committee's schedule. So I'm just wondering whether that's not also something we should discuss.
I think although also that bill, that private member bill is not before us, but I'll request just for, as a procedural matter, for me just to say something about it. But also maybe to check if there's no letter from the department. That is, because if the bill has been tabled as a private member bill, do you think that's not also the ceremony of bills that are supposed to be tabled by the department? I think that must be checked. Actually,
that's something that I wanted to raise to the committee, because within the plans of the department and the commission, these appear as one of the pieces of legislation that is required, and we do know that it is not the department's legislation, it's going to be a private member at the expense now.
Mm.
So we reflected it because it does appear in their book, but it's a point that I thought would be discussed. There is just one thing about the bill. There is an observation we are making about pieces of legislation and policies. So I thought perhaps we can have a discussion on the issues there, if there are process issues, and not really dealing with the merit or the cases about the bill is concerned, but what is it that the committee is saying about the bill?
Thank you, Chair. Procedurally, that bill, we should, as a committee, we should take it as if that this process is, that is with the Speaker and MT Mgoni, we should take it as a bill that is still within the department. So it will be only referred to us when they are done, they have finalized their own processes as the Speaker's office. So it will be referred like any other bill to the committee, then we can consider it then. Thank you.
We just decide to withdraw it.
Yes, Mr. Waters, the bill is Mr. Mguni's bill, but he wrote to the Speaker. Therefore, your concerns will be, you will write the concerns via the Speaker's office. Thank you.
Chile, do you want to say something? Okay, then let's wait for the processes on the other side to be finalized. Then when the bill is tabled before this committee, we take it from there. Because also the committee has to play its role when the bill has been tabled to the committee. Can we then start Honorable Magadla, can you raise your hand?
I just want to check certain if the checking is for the technical committee or technical committee. So is it not supposed to be here in this case or for the technical committee to take the bill?
That should be explained whether the bill will be section 75 or 76, because section 74 is with regards to the money bill, section 77 is a money bill, section 74 I think is the constitutional amendment.
Thank you, Chair. The taking is the responsibility of the presiding officers with those members that have been nominated by the presiding officers to be part of that committee and legal services, not the committee. Thank you.
Any other matter? Let's proceed with our report, page 16. I would prefer that we do it just paragraph by paragraph so that members can, those who are able to act, can act those who submit to make later submissions, we give a date, final date, so that at the end of the day we move to the same understanding, because the report has been circulated late. And I start with Honorable Papa Made, that we start at number 4. Honourable members, do we have any additions, corrections? Honourable Papa, and then Honourable Sultan.
In the second paragraph, I think the first sentence at the end of the sentence, budget for this portfolio accounts for less than 1% of the entire. And then also paragraph 3, I'm not sure what is happening here, but it doesn't read well. A decrease in budget allocation for compensation of employees noted as a matter of concern.
What?
Is it what noted as a matter of concern?
Yes.
So maybe we should add the word what noted as a matter of concern. Such has the potential to impact negatively on the capacity of I don't know. I think the
you. Honorable Kitchen.
Yeah. I think a better construction of
the... Honorable Papama.
Also.
Are you done?
Back to bullet point number 3, that second sentence, I would suggest to reconstruct it by saying it has the potential.
Any other matter that one question?
Created a challenge regarding the committee's overall responsibility to hold the executive to be accountable on finalizing plans, policies, and bills. It's written responsible to hold the executive to accountable. So you can see.
There was a proposal
to be accountable.
There was an initial proposal that has been made by Honorable Mbapama. Yeah. That it created a challenge regarding the committee's overall responsibility to hold the executive to account on finalizing planned policies and bills. And Honorable Chabelin to hold the executive to be accountable on, I think both Honorable.
I mean, that's a different thing, but in paragraph number 5, the absence of estimate, one, the absence of estimate, I'm sorry, of an estimate.
I remember saying we need to add S, the absence of estimate.
Yeah,
okay.
Just an S.
Okay. Just an S.
Doctor, you want to say something?
Yes, thanks. I just wanted to make a proposal that as we consider this, we do it at two levels. So one would be about, you know, the support and the language, but the other one is the substantive real issues about administration. What is it that the committee has observed? You know, what are issues that the committee will raise to actually help the department to improve with regard to this program? So I'm just asking that we shouldn't, because sometimes we can dwell on the end and then we forget the real things which we need to actually ensure as a group.
I think that is correct, but at the same time also when you are here in this committee as members, you've got the support staff that is also noting the concerns. But as I've said even before, that members have to add. If there are any additions, they have to add findings and recommendations. But it's our responsibility, all of us here, because while we discuss, others have to note, yes, so that when they write the report, all those are taken into consideration. Honorable Walters?
Chair, I have a similar concern that I think often in previous bodies that have reported, you know, it becomes a exercise in language use and spelling and that type of thing, and then the substantive discussion that falls by the wayside. Now, obviously, you know, if there's something in the language that makes you lose the meaning of the substance, I think it should be right. And my suggestion would be that if we spot language errors and that type of thing, that we should actually just do a pass it a proper language technical, is it wrong? Language test is done, we focus on the substantive issues and right at the end of the process if there's some issues with land use and related there. But I'm also very concerned that if this is only the first paragraph, if you're going to be stopping at every paragraph looking at the land use, you might have a problem. And I think people should rather, or honourable members should rather note down the concerns and leave it for a land use test if the concerns are still there at the end anyway.
It's a good proposal, but at the same time we have to make sure that we produce a quality committee report. If maybe it's the issue of the semantics, the S and the E, that can be written down and be submitted to the support staff for them to consider that. I agree with that one. Can we proceed?
Thank you, Chair. I'm trying to strike the middle of the road. I think wherever we pick up a language challenge, let us individually just notice that we've suggested the changes to the structure of the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Then we deal with the substantive issues, and then in the last hour or something, then we come back and we deal with the grammar, we give it the grammatical attention. Unless you find that the structure of the sentence, the structure that changes the meaning that was intended, then we raise it. But if it's a question of the or A in place of A, does not necessarily change the sentence. Yeah, that is it.
Can we proceed, Honorable Rogers? Maybe before that, on the issue of the administration, I think the concern that we have noted here is the issue of the 215 employees, the 75 vacant positions. I think it must be incorporated to either to the budget allocation, because there was an indication that 75 posts were vacant, and also the department has lost 213 employees which were not replaced, which will impact negatively on the operation of the department. Bounce back to the issue of the budget allocation, and also the decision by Treasury not to fill all the posts.
The National Geomatics Management Services bullet points. The key development in this program was that the administration of SNUMA has been transferred to presidency. However, the committee expressed concerns regarding lack of clarity about the implementation, as well as a clear delineation of responsibilities. Should there be no clarity about this matter, it could affect the capacity of the municipalities to produce the development schemes and plans as provided for the SNUMA. The decrease in budget allocation for this program is likely to have a negative impact on SNUMA as a sub-program. A second bullet point, ongoing challenges to the ICADASTA project have delayed the implementation of the SNUMA way of electronic feed system.
Additions, amendments. I think a decrease in the budget allocation, should this not be a bullet on its own? And also in the last sentence, the first bullet, have a negative impact in the implementation of school. Honorable Peter?
Certainly, so I've noted this. You'll recall that the committee members will recall that last week, Judge Nguyenya touched base with the Struma, and he made a statement here in which he actually quoted case law, saying that its implementation has been suspended. Now, I think before we proceed, with the contents of this paragraph that they are, we need to verify that. Maybe we might have to be in touch with him to get to know what the cases that he referred to. So so that we can amplify our input, you know, in this regard, because to transfer a function which was supposed to be with this department to the president has got its own implications, and to even have it now suspended, that is the implementation of an act, you know, that's even more complications for the land planning environment, so to speak. So I think I would suggest that we will verify what you said. Not that I question it, but just for our own comfort, so that we make a statement now to Parliament, knowing we put people in the know. I think the municipalities would also benefit. I'm not sure how good up they are on case law or how up to date they are. Thank you, sir.
I think also the support staff has to assist us. There was a resolution that has been taken last year with regards to the traditional leaders who are saying they are not dissatisfied with this. They are dissatisfied with Pluma.
Yes.
I think there was a resolution that the department has to continue engaging the traditional leadership on this matter. Can we check that resolution? Because there was a resolution that we have that has been adopted by the House, which was based on the committee report on the budget report with regards to Flume. Honorable Olchuk.
If the matter raised by yourself and the member for time, isn't that in itself a standalone concern that we have moved here? Now, I'm not sure I want you to word it, but the extent to which Stuma, the implementation of Stuma, is affected by, call it a case law, history and I would say the need for consultation with key stakeholders, something along those lines.
Mm.
So there could actually be a standalone bullet point here for the committee to pick up at a later stage. And I'm just suggesting it to the two of you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. Thank you, good morning, Chair. I was just checking the where in the framework does the OVG fit? It's not part of the diplomatic. So we need just the point of view on that. I think in terms of this report, we tend to address OVG in terms of land reform, but I do agree that I mean it is about, you know, regulation, characteristics can still keep here, but also there's the issue about the OVG being an independent. So I'm not too sure where we locate it at this current stage, because it sounds like an office which is standing on its own in the department, not located with ICE. You know, it's something that we need to verify. But perhaps if Honorable Ngwenya has a recommendation, the way it is whether we can see how we capture it and locate it elsewhere. The other point I wanted to follow up is this the case law regarding Pluma. How I understood that, and I can be corrected if I misunderstood him, he made reference to Development Facilitation Act, DFA, the city of Joburg and the planning, was it the planning tribunal or city, you know, something like that. And that case ended up in court, and the court then said this is the mandate for planning, it's a specific function for the municipality and not provincial government.
Mm.
And so it was with regard to that. I did not get a sense that now Pluma has sort of been put on hold. There is a content. He did say that traditional leaders, the House or some formation of traditional leaders, said this legislation will not be implemented. But I did not get him to say that government has now said we are not going to implement this sort of legislation.
Honorable
Lord
Church, to Honorable
Sugar.
I happen to have been on the provincial side, which Stuma was being consulted implementation of SCUMA is taking place smoothly, thankfully, given the fact that there is potential points of tension between local government and the Act, and the fact that there is resistance to its implementation by traditional leaders. And I think that is a, I can word it differently, but I think that is a concern and a valid concern. Is it being implemented efficiently given the potential spheres of government bumping heads with one another, or alternatively key stakeholders not being on board with it? That I think is a valid concern.
Another
Well, Chair, I'm glad that the doctor has put more clarity on the specific area of focus that as to where, which areas of the country are affected by that case law. Now, we are at national. Citizens coming from those places would need to get clarity from us as to where SCUMA is relevant at this point in time. They would still expect us as national to make a pronouncement, and this is the best time for us to do so. So I'll still go back to my point that we need to check, you know, on this so that we can make a valid statement, and I think even therefore Honorable Walters would be more comfortable when we make a clear statement as to where we are, you know, as a country on SCUMA. We may refer to those areas where the case law has got an impact, as long as, of course, not say, you know, a judgment by the Constitutional Court, which has got the national, you know, footprint. Then.
But you must not forget, Honourable Members, that now we are dealing with the budget. So if you want a report, it's unfortunate because now SCUMA has been transferred to the presidency. We don't know what is left with the Department of Rural Development, because you can request that report for the department to present it to this committee and engage in that particular report. But now, budget. Honorable Mateus.
I want to know if where we are now in operational, you know, because there are those areas that I think they are in operation. That is my concern.
Maybe you can hold on those questions, because the department is not here to respond on some of the issues that are raising now with regards to the implementation of SCUMA. But I think we have to note it so that when we invite the department, they must just brief us about SCUMA, so that we can know what the progress with regards to the implementation, what are the challenges. Since SCUMA has been transferred to the presidency, of what their role, what is it that they're supposed to do? Honorable Chair?
No, I think you've partially answered the question I was going to ask. Why should we intervene when it's not part of our mandate? We want this information just for general knowledge. Because it used to be in the report. Why do we report about something that is not our mandate anymore?
Any other
can I just say that perhaps that's the reason why we're talking about you know, lack of clarity? Because even if it has been reported that administration is transferred, but you've got the budget here in this department, you've got the official in this department. So it is, and that has huge implications for this community. So if we say that we are actually dropping it, so it means even in terms of oversight. So I'm not too sure who's going to do oversight on the in the presidency on that, whether it's a public service and administration committee or so. It is those kind of areas which I think this committee needs to find time and engage with the department, and also those relevant departments in the presidency around taking up this matter. Something like that. Maybe it should be one probably.
That is why propose that we need to invite the department. Since Pluma has been budgeted for, we have to invite the department to clarify what is its role now. We'll take it from there. Then our monitoring will be based on the role of the department with regards to Pluma. Then the other thing in the presidency, the relevant committee will deal about that. But the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform has to come before us, tell us exactly, since Pluma has been taken, what is it that has been taken to the president? What is it that has been left with the department? Then we'll take it from there, because we don't want to encroach on what the other committees on the presidency side will be doing. Can you proceed, Honorable Members?
The earlier question answered to by Dr. Manuel on the OBG. Basically, our view from the premise that OBG has been established a year or two now, so they must not be off the radar of oversight, and there must be a way found to really, even in our reports, begin to reflect on them as well. But Chair, then Dr. Manuel will ask if there's any point to make. OBG didn't report in a written format, and we warned them that next time they must then bring the report. We may wish to make that observation, or we may wish to then hold our horses a bit and say, then once they start reporting, then we will find a way. Insofar as where they fit, we were going to fit them where the department fits them. If a wild suggestion, if department were to fit them under administration, we would then fit them under administration in our report. But in the context of Chair, I would say perhaps let's settle for leaving out OVG, but it's a key department. Then Chair, the last comment about OVG. It's not their wish that counts. It's their current status whenever we do a report. If they wish to be some independent entity, they wish to be some Section 21, they wish to be at the level of a public protector, they wish to be, that's just a wish. Where are they located? They are a sub-program, because they are not a program for sure. They are a sub-program somewhere in the department. But I think with that comment, perhaps let's just leave them out, but I'm just saying it's a critical point to always reflect on going forward. Thank you.
I agree with the Honorable Mngoni that we need to say something, because the establishment of the Office of the Bureau General is based on the implementation of the Property Valuation Act. So it means that the department is started to implement that act. The office is there, the human resource thing. What are the challenges? But it's the implementation of the Property Valuation Act. I think it must be under land reform.
You are right, because we've just been going through the area where they do transfer. So, you know, the agricultural land holding account, OBG, is sort of that category. So that budget comes under, comes from land reform. So, yeah, okay. So it's a sub-program anyway. The only thing is, under land reform, you just do not get clear outcome, out, you know, performance indicators that you can directly do the
That's important then.
Yeah. Honorable Sulta, can I take it?
Okay. So Honorable Walters has just one paragraph to do.
You have your own paragraph to
Okay, rural development. Agri-parks are an innovative way to revitalize rural economies through agriculture and agro-processing. Functionality of the new sub-programs such as 1H1H and 1H1H, one house, one hectare, was dependent on policy clarity regarding these interventions. These could show a focus on redistribution of land as a fundamental transformative agenda of the GLR. National Treasury's commitment to resolve the duplication and overlap of programs between DAF and DRDLR was welcome. Further attention on the overlap of functions of the GRGRR and GSBG, especially under the RAID and RAID, could help to give some focus on the GRGLR.
RAID and RAID.
Land reform.
Let's talk with Robert
Epidemic.
RAID and RAID.
I think
so we'll write to inform.
On rural development, you have to write this, especially this 1H, because you're thinking of the car. H1, no? H1, whatever. Hyundai, yes. So if you use this abbreviation, because the report, after it has been adopted in the House, it's a public document. So a person must be able to understand what is it? What is this 1H1H? What is this 1H? Whether it's a number plate or so you must just have a footnote or a footnote. Just
acronyms.
Yes, acronyms so that we explain some of the abbreviation. It was very hard to honorable to read. The DAFF, the DRDLR, the DSBD, the 1H, 1H. Can you talk to this rural development? I don't see anything about, I don't know comprehensive rural development, CRDP. Because we can't talk of rural development without the CRDP. And also the NARICEC, because there were concerns that were raised by members with regards to NARICEC. The late issuing of certificates, you know. After this NARICEC program, the youth becomes unemployed. But I don't see anything about comprehensive rural development program. Is the department still continuing with the CRDP? Because they were facilitating, we understand that they were facilitating the program, trying to get in other departments to have a buy-in so that when there's development, it should be a comprehensive rural development program. Honorable members, can you talk to rural development? Honorable Walsh?
Just in terms of the point one, first sentence I'm fine with. But then it says functionality of the new sub-programs such as 1H1H and 1HDC with dependence on policy clarity regarding these interventions. I think I'm just going to put the sentence a little bit more straightforward and just say that a lack of policy clarity for these programs could impact negatively on its implementation. Just a straightforward sentence, and then I think the issue is lack of policy clarity can affect the redistribution of land and the successful implementation of this program. So I think the issue is a lack of policy clarity. There's the chair, then the other comments you did cover me on, I think there's a grey area in terms of comprehensive rural development, in terms of what is being reported, exactly what is happening there, that I think should be reflected there, and you covered the other issue as well.
Any other matter on the rural development program? The issue of this was the 1H and the 1 whatever, 1 dairy cow, 1 man. Then that we indicated that those policies must be brought before the committee. Because now the department is implementing them, we don't know what is it. in the first place. So we don't know what is it that we should can monitor. If they're saying whether they are doing the right thing or whatever, we don't have any information. I think that is what the Honorable Walters is saying, the issue of lack of policy. Yeah, the Honorable Walters?
I'm referring to specifically this context. I think there's a general issue as well, whether it's the strengthening of the relative rights of 50-50 policy, whether it's this policy. I think it's maybe an issue as a general comment from the committee that we need to take up, that policies that are broadly being discussed with the public, that is used in the implementation, you know, that if it doesn't come to the committee, that affects our ability to hold the department to account. I would actually suggest we make that a standalone recommendation on its own, apart from this, just the context of this paragraph.
Yeah. But your policies have to be tabled before the committee first, before they are being implemented, for us to be able to play our oversight.
Thanks. I just wanted to get clarity of what the committee said. Because the way we wrote here, we do not want to say there is lack of policy. Because from what the department was saying, the policy is there. It's just they have not been engaging with the committee. So to say lack of policy.
Lack of clarity.
Clarity.
Not clarity. On the policy. 50-50, that is what we mean by clarity. Policies are there. What we're saying is that the department must present the policies first to the committee before they implement them. Because we can't talk of something that we don't know, something that we don't understand. Honorable
I see that as a standalone point outside of this paragraph as well, but I'm just wondering whether that first sentence then shouldn't just, first bullet point shouldn't simply be agri-parks are potentially an innovative way to revitalize rural economic economies through agriculture and agro-processing. However, due to a lack of clarity around the policies, the committee finds it impossible to, or difficult to, assess whether it's making an impact in terms of redistribution of land and successful agricultural change, or whatever term one wants to use it. So that to me is the issue.
Another good challenge? Any other matter, Honourable President?
Thank you, sir. The last bullet point there on page 17. It's about facts, it's less about grammar, the choice of words. The very last sentence, especially the second last sentence, especially under the read and rate, would help to give some focus on the GRDLR. I would rather we say, could help to enhance clarity on the responsibility of GRDLR, rather than just say focus. Because I think that's what we need. Yeah.
Mm. Instead of using the word focus, we need to use the word enhance the clarity and gender responsibility. That is what you are proposing. Mm. Do you agree, Honorable Members? Anything on rural development? If there's nothing, can we proceed to land reform? Page 18.
Land reform. The center of land reform and restitution is a percentage share of the general expenditure of programs of the GRDLR. It has also been in decline, with this trend not reversed. It is a start processes to accelerate pace of land distribution. The split of the land reform program into land distribution and development as well as land planning was a welcome initiative which could result in a focused land management under ALA, especially its management and allocation of land to be work with the NHL and support them through the RADP. The important transfer of RADP to DAP could potentially lead to more efficient support by the relevant department that has capacity to provide support, noting that the program does not have dedicated funds and that it has been using the 5% of the budget for land acquisition. DAP was likely not to provide any support to land reform beneficiaries. Prioritization of acquisition of strategically located land met clearly targeted beneficiaries and with adequate development support, both in terms of pre- and post-settlement stages of the project, could address some of the weaknesses of the current program of land reform. Local level alignment and clarification of roles among the various levels of institutions and agencies set up by the DRDLR is necessary, lest they ultimately compete against one another. Such institutions are the District Land Committees, Land Rights Management Committees, Land Rights Board, and others. And the Secretary of the District of the Land Committee.
Any comment on the land reform, Honorable Peter?
On to straight to bullet point number three. Mm-hmm. Reported transfer. Look, I was with the agriculture yesterday, deliberately. That's the only way I can be effective given our numbers. I can tell you that they say they will only be able to do anything about this new responsibility if it comes with the necessary budget. So this disclosure that there was no standalone budget for this function means one thing to the people out there, and that is this financial year, this service will not be made available by government people unless someone, either this department or agriculture, makes a budget available. So I would recommend that we make a recommendation to the effect that engagement between the two departments need to be to take place soon. Otherwise, this service will be found lacking. Government as a whole will be found lacking on this. They made that statement very, very clear that they don't have this budget. Funds should follow function. Thank you.
But there's no budget to that. Clear that there's no budget that will be transferred by the Department of Rural Development to Agriculture because there was no specific budget for recap, but it was the 25% out of the budget that they have to make sure that this program is being implemented. And agriculture has got past comprehensive agricultural support program. It's similar. It's a recap, but different name. So they must just fit it there, because it's not a new mandate. That is what they were doing, in fact.
My point, Chair, was that when it comes to our recommendations, let's be specific on that, so that nobody out there would say there was lack of clarity about what is expected. Because they think that there was a budget within us. And so that's why I'm recommending that to make it clear, you know, to the people that, you know, it's their responsibility and we never had a budget yet. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's indicated in that paragraph, noting that this program does not have dedicated funds and that it has been using 25% of the budget for land acquisition. But I agree with your proposal that there should be continuous engagement between the two departments on how best can they continue to implement this post-settlement support program. Honorable Bakwan.
Yeah, I know you said you want to look at grammar at the end, but I think it doesn't impact. I think the last sentence, last part of the last sentence should actually say DAV is likely not. policy. We're not talking about something of the past. We're talking about something of the future.
Which paragraph?
Paragraph 3, the last sentence, the last part of the last sentence.
Okay.
Is likely not to provide anything. Then that makes it very specific.
What was?
Thank you.
What
no,
was?
If you say it, you can raise it because you can't come back for it and want and whatever. But when we read this report, when you identify any semantic matter, you have to just raise it. Any other matter on land reform, honorable members? I think we have to indicate that there's this number, it was a figure, the last batch of the recap that the department is going to finalize. I think we have to just indicate it in our report so that tomorrow we don't experience some problems that there were people who were on the recap then. I've just forgotten the figure, but they gave us the figure that those are the last batch of the recap program that they will be funding in this financial year, but otherwise the whole program has been transferred to the Department of Agriculture.
I think the important matter about the transfer of this or recap going to agriculture, I propose that we bring National Treasury at the center of that so that in the engagement we should have agricultural rural development and National Treasury. And I would even suggest that perhaps it should not only be a recommendation, but this committee can actually call the State Department, because if we are interested in making sure that they go to the goal, you know, reaches those people, then we must facilitate this discussion, because from what the report we are getting, it doesn't seem like there was an agreement from agriculture. If they're saying if there's no fund, we're not going to do it. So that raises questions as to whether that may have been funded by, and whether there was an agreement around that matter. If the committee remembers, during the public hearings on the recap, there was a recommendation from DPME that National Treasury should facilitate this integrated funding model. And that process, we've always been making follow-up. We were told it's at the advanced stage, but it doesn't seem like there's anything. So maybe that's something that the committee might want to look at.
Thank you. Also, if I remember well, we agreed with that recommendation of the DPM as the committee. Honorable Papa, Honorable Ndumi.
Thank you, Chair. Just the last paragraph. I think if we are making recommendations, let's be specific. The last sentence talks about such institutions as the district land committees, land rights management committees, land rights boards, and others. I suggest that we don't say and others.
If they're not, they will just end it to their land rights board. But as another member, then another member.
Yeah, thank you. I feel Honorable Babama is uncompromising on the issues of the formulation and all that. My previous experience was actually on that. Even Hansa, they then quality assured document. So if you note, I'm really relaxed when it comes to all those crossing of T's and all. But I think we may as well do chase just that we may then lose quite a hell lot of time. But I think it's within our scope, so I'm not saying it in any manner that I think it should be welcome. But that's what I was made to understand in my experience in this sector, that no, Hansa does the quality assurance and everything. So once, Chair, the point you mentioned earlier, once the document is ready to be at the public level and the Hansa there, it's my vocab now, Hansa there, then at that stage the document is just... The last one, the such institutions, It's because it's the whole sentence there, starting with such, of course, the whole sentence there is merely making reference. Therefore, you can't, from its own logic, you can't then limit it and say such institutions there. But that's not my point. I'm not worried about those. My point here would be three areas now, as I note, seem to be moving on the off the scope of the department. Those being the ricket, like we discussed, those being the spluma, and those being the OPG. My suggestion here is that we write to the department to come and make specific representation on these. The areas on which they will represent is the timeline for transfer or for establishment, like OBG. Yeah? The timeline for transfer or establishment, that's one. Two, the budget allocation. In other words, the one that's going in the current financial year, does it still lie within us? Do we have financial implications for it? And three, the human resource. Human resource in the sense that OBG must be able to say, for instance, they have five valuers they targeting before the end of this year to have 20 such or three per province, you know. Human resource insofar as Pluma, because on Pluma, I'm only using memory here, no tangible document. I thought they were saying it's you are the management of that act. I had thought last year I picked them up and say you are. It's a concurrent the function. Chair, maybe I may add to the areas that I think they must report us on. The principal, would you call it the principal act in each case? On recap, probably there's no act. But on OBG, you have decided to change the Property Valuation Act of 2014, and on Pluma, it's an act on its own. Because you find that maybe the act refers to the minister. Now, when you translate it to the presidency, you know, so there's also a need for the department. Can we set aside a slot to receive the implication of these three so far? If as we proceed, Chair, we pick up some three more, then there will be six, and then there will be a basket that we ask the department to further unpack. But of the areas, Chair, I emphasize the financial, I emphasize the HR. I know of an experience of people who say the function has been taken over, but I'm remaining here, I'm reporting in this office for forever, you know. And the person is reporting to this office because it's designated valuation officer, for argument's sake, or land use management officer. But the function has since been transferred to the presidency. Have the people moved or have they remained? So I'm just saying, Chair, in quite a number of areas, there's been a lot of tinkering. I guess they've been political and their administrative implications, that's what we want now. Thank you, Chair.
I think that has been muted.
I'm still in that chair. We just need to think it back. I agree with the recommendation that you just made that issue. We are certainly privacy. It's not a matter of likely or not. But the said department must provide means of implementing.
I think the recommendation is that the Department of Rural Development, Agriculture and Treasury must have a joint meeting to clarify this matter. I think the way forward will just be decided in that meeting.
But at the end,
That is what you are saying now. Because we can say the program must be implemented, but if there's no money, the program will not be implemented. But if there's a joint meeting between rural development, agriculture, and treasury, the one with good money, then they will decide how this program is going to be implemented. Another one, Chabot?
I wouldn't have a problem with the kind of meeting, Chair, if you are summarizing the between the departments. But can't we, Chair, specifically, I'm happy with my earlier one, specifically get the department to talk on these changes in detail? And then under that microscope, we can then decide what action to follow in each case. In mind, we'll be thinking about there should be a meeting with DAF and so on. But they must tell us, are there people sitting in offices now called RECAP officers, for argument's sake? And what's happening to those people so long and so forth? So what's happening, if we start with our own house, the department, and then from there we can then have these joint meetings with Treasury, with the presidency, with the, as we might be speaking, Chair. I want to really persuade like that.
No, we've noted that Honorable Mngomi, because that's a matter for processes, that we invite the department to speak on OVG, on the recap, on the FLUMA, with regard to the budget and the human resources. I think it's a matter for processes. Honorable Chair.
The department, the way it functions, is within the department. The person in FLUMA may be responsible for other things that are impacting on other programs of the department. Now, if you are moving these people when there is a crisis in the department of skills and all that, the implication is that then the department will go down a little bit, so they'll have more new problems than the problems they had before. So the removal, what is going to be impact on administration and other divisions and programs in the department? Is there a way for it? Because I don't see any reason why FLUMA should go to the presidency in the first place. Because its implementation and all and think of anything. If you don't see it. Or maybe let's say the land and rural development then should go to the president, because then it will make a lot of sense if it's a function in the president. I think that we should throw our weight also in our that we don't really understand why should this thing go.
What would be our recommendation? That we have a meeting with the department, the DP, the DPME. Who is responsible in the president?
Commission.
On FLUMA. There's a commission on FLUMA. It's impossible. I don't know who's responsible. The president.
No, that's
I think we also need to have a meeting with COPSA, because the implementation of FLUMA is with COPSA. It's with municipalities. So I think maybe we should have a COPSA should be part of the joint.
I think that should be the recommendation, that we need to have a joint meeting with COPSA so that we will discuss this matter of school. been the clarified who's doing what. Then the other matter on land reform. There was a matter, I think it was the finding, to make the finding, which has been raised by the VG. On the shortage of valuers. I think that is why they're training others in the University of UCT. Yeah. So I think we must find a way of involving how to craft it as a finding and also the challenge of the shortage, of valuers. A recommendation, which is the program of training other valuers must continue with the University of Cape Town. There was the other one, the delay in the drafting of the regulations. I think members still remember it. I think it was the Property Valuation Act. The regulations were gazetted when? July. Was it June or July this year? Last year. Yeah, it was recently. No, I will check it, but it was done recently. While the act, no, it was on the 1st of April. It was gazetted on the 1st of April while the act was passed in 2014. Yeah, around, we'll check that. That it was really a concern. The act has been passed 3 years back. Then there were no regulations. Then regulations were published and gazetted on the 1st of April. I think in Ghana under the land reform or what? Should it? Any other matter on land reform?
I just want to emphasize the the role of COPCA, because if you remove the car from the car. No, the COPCA, the TA in the COG, is traditional tourism.
Mm.
And they are the ones who, when we met with them in Limpopo, some of folks will remember, they said we are not only opposed to slew, but we detest it, we hate it. You know? So then, as part of taking this discussion forward, the COPs has to play a very important role, because they are the ones who are supposed to be facilitating meetings related to Sploom.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important that we have, and maybe even people in the presidency, that we should explain to them that, you know, you're not going to be able to, this peak is not going to fly.
The peak is not going to fly. Any other matter on land reform? Honourable members? Can you proceed? Restitution? Patron? Honourable Matuku?
Of close to 6 billion, the better and the fifth has a need for better planning and capacity to settle and finalize claims without delay is of utmost importance. Better planning to be achieved if there was assessment of sustaining land claims. The commitment existing claims and the cost of settlement and finalization of such claims could assist in better planning, especially budget allocation. The fact that 18274 of the 79212 present claims are yet to be finalized in land claims, that is 23.1% of the total claims, is not given thorough attention in matter of secure the amount of work and the commission is left to conduct. So it might obscure the amount of work that the commission is left to conduct. Finalization of establishment of an autonomous structure of the CRLR should address the overlap of roles between the CRLR and the CRCLR, especially establishment and support to PCA as required in terms of the PCA Act.
The cost of settlement. Is there any cost for settlement? Because to me, settlement is the implementation of Section 42D, where the minister signs. But the cost is on the finalization, where the compensation must be done. Maybe if I can just get it directly on that one. And also the last paragraph. We're talking of the finalization on the autonomy of CRLR. On the last line, we're talking about the CPA, which is which here. And also there's this, we need to say something about this 916 outstanding. The 916 claims that will be recessed by the end of June or end of the first quarter. I think that must be checked so that we can be able to hold them accountable, because that is what they said. That the 916 outstanding last batch of the research claims will be finalized by, if not by the end of the first quarter, yes, because there was nothing on the second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. Then the other one, which also is a finding, that they're still outstanding untraceable. Still outstanding untraceable claims. So if there are untraceable claims, that also impacts on the finalization of claims, because the claim is finalized when the last cent has been paid. So if there are other untraceable claimants, it means that the money is still with the commission. Honourable members, can you talk to that restitution paragraph? I'm going to put that.
Thank you, Chair. I'm concerned about the construction of bullet point number 2. I would suggest that we rewrite it in the following manner. The fact that 18,274 of the 79,212 certain claims are yet to be finalized is a matter of concern. Full stop. They constitute 23.1% of settlers' claims. If not given immediate attention, several thorough attention, might obscure the work that the commission is yet to conduct. Thank you. Don't ask me to repeat that.
Chair, I'm not sure. You see, the space between settlement and finalization might also be a budget space, might also be a space of further application of the money by the minister. So I'm not so sure, Chair, that when we're referring to the commission, we could, they have no power, from what I know, from what I understand, I'm subject to correction. They have no power once they have settled. They have no power on the finalization. I think I heard them say so at the 10 days ago. So perhaps to go and rephrase in the hard manner that my colleague, Honorable is suggesting might perhaps then fail the administrative managerial master of our drafting team, because then it would then be tantamount to a political pronouncement. But I think as political parties, and I'm not saying it in any bad spirit, we are free in the debate to then emphasize either way. From where it stands, it's nice and neutral. It's giving us statistics and with the scope to interpret. What is true there is the figure 18.2, is the figure 79.2, is the figure 23%, and then how it has been joined by our I call them drafting team now that I'm drafting nowadays. So then the interpretation and emphasis where we want to move to immediate and what, I think that's for us in the house to do. And I'm saying so persuasively, there's nothing wrong, but I'm just saying there could be many, many interpretations which you don't want to land in a vague document like this. So I'm really persuading colleagues that we leave the formulation as it stands. But the interpretation is up to us as parties, and in a democracy I accept and wish that as parties let's interpret that. But perhaps let's be very, very... I think the way it is nice and neutral, and allows space for us to debate either way in the house.
Cycles and finalization. Who finalizes the claim? Is it not the commission? The minister signs. The enumers provide the financial compensation. With the minister, I'm happy I've got the minister. With the minister, because to me it's a commission. The role of the minister is to sign, to approve. After the research has been done that this thing is valid, then they submit to the minister. As per section 42D, the minister must sign. That is document. After the minister is signed, then the commission finalize is to pay or to give back the land. That is finalization. So it's their responsibility to finalize the claim. But we have to check. Chilil, what is your understanding as a content advisor when we interview?
No, I will just take the middle, the neutral one, and read program four.
Okay.
Purpose is to settle and finalize and the land restitution claims under that act. Now, it's a continuation. So that I wouldn't separate them, because in this, when you settle the land claim, you need both. So they prepare all these things and they write section 42D for minister to approve. And once he approves, then the commission carry on with the process to the extent that they now pay.
Fine.
So you cannot finalize without the minister. So he comes.
Second, minister must sign.
Okay.
But you know, it's confusing, because even initially to me settlement was like you have settled everything.
Yeah.
But to according to the Restitution Act, settlement is section 42D where the minister puts his signature. Then finally it's when you give back the land, you close the matter, you give back the land or you give back the money. That is final. Then the file is closed.
No, fine, Chair, I'm prepared to live with you. But, Chair, just a last follow-up. No, Chair, I'm just saying sometimes when the department is here, we need to be very, very much alert. I've really been directing the Honorable Councillor Suryani to this day. So I've been very cautious on how to pronounce the two. And since then, I've been very attentive in listening to them, so that if one has to pronounce, one pronounces correctly on this in the public space. So I'm just saying, Chair, I had something different. Probably what departments do, when they go before committees, they do footwork for their own reasons. So we caught up in that web, I guess that is that. But Chair, I'm happy with the clarity given, but I'll also, because of my other responsibility, I'll still check with them what is this and find out.
And back to the document, Chair, I really persuade the colleagues that let's leave with that formulation as it is there. Because if you say immediately, there might be budget implications which we are not aware of. So, unless if you've got the, because this is financial, basically, for implementation. So, but I don't know, Chair, 18,274, maybe call an advisor, have we checked what, how much it carries? I did hear CMCC saying to me, I will need 27 billion for that. I heard her say to me directly. So I'm just saying the formulation as it stands seems to be neutral because you don't want to say they must do that which is impossible budget-wise. Thanks.
Honorable Papa. Proposals now. I think we have Honorable Magaza, Honorable Chabini, you know, just commented. Honorable Sultan.
I have my own concerns about the matter. Sometimes in our community.
So under the market that should I think have not checked
the
916 research, the last page of the research things that's supposed to be done in the first quarter. Meaning that when the 916, according to my understanding, has been researched, there will be no any other further research of the 1998 outstanding claims. That will be the last batch of claims.
Can I say, I think the committee must also be careful, and I like the idea that the committee wants to hold the commission accountable with that number. But remember what the chief commissioner said here. They used to have a specific number of land claims lost.
Mm.
Last time they came in, they said approximately 8,000. And he said, while doing this work, we're finding more claims. Some are together. We begin to separate. So it might not be that 916. It might increase. But for this term, this is what they said they will do. So we have to hold them accountable to that. But the committee must not be shocked to come to find that actually there's still more based on the information that we have.
Chile, let us be shocked. We want to be shocked. Because the 916 number is from them.
Yeah.
It's not from us. So So do we mean that each and every time when they come before us, they must give us this number? Then the next day, they change that. Let us wait for the shocking day. But the 960 was not the committee number. It's appearing in the in their report. When looking at the plan, that is why we ask them, I have the question here. Why are you not doing anything on the second, third, and fourth court? I think also Honorable Phil Turner raised that one. Why are you not doing anything with regards to research on the second, third, and fourth court? They've said the 916 outstanding research claim is the last batch of claims that will be researched of the 1998 claims that will be researched. I think the number, this changing of numbers was based on the question that has been raised by Honorable Papama on the tallying of numbers. That is when they responded that other claims, they contain more than one right, others are overlapping, all those things. But on the research one, what would be the reason of changing the number? Honorable Chabulin?
My life history of restitution tells you that they tells me that apart from the problem that we have of money, there are issues of commitment by people in the department to resolve some of these problems. If you look at the number of claims that are talked about and ask yourself, how many of them are claims in state-owned land where there is no dispute of ownership? How many of these claims are claims of people who are labor tenants living on the farm and where there is not even need for it? There is actually no need for more research because the communities have never moved. You know? So we need to find a way of classifying those things. State-owned land should not be difficult to settle, particularly if the form of settlement of the resolution of the claim is not monetary compensation. It's actually land itself. So it doesn't stop those communities, I mean the department, from settling and say those who come back later to claim, because the land will be there, the land won't be sold, that they will be accommodated after verification. So that you leave a clause within the CPA or as part of the agreement that the process is not closed. Those who come back later, if they are to prove that they were staying on this land or their descendants of farm laborers who, you know, it could be. But I'm just saying that there are issues here of commitment and people playing numbers, that at least we need to deliver three or four in a year to keep ourselves in jobs. We need to find a way of saying how do we, and from what the commissioner said, that the 90-something or 89,000, I believe that it will be less than those numbers. Because if one farm is owned by 10 people coming from the same family, it won't make them 100. The number won't rise. It can only go down because you realize that actually claim one KS11112 was given by such people, so it's actually one claim and it's one family. So the numbers won't rise, they'll actually go down if they are to do verification or whatever verification they are. But I think we need to find a way of how many of these claims are on state land, in conservation areas, land owned by public rights.
But I think when we with the restitution, because they can just say, be able to say that after they've done the research, then they'll be able to just tell us, because really some of the delays here are unnecessary delayed by people, as Honorable Chabalini said, people who are not committed. They're just delaying the process. That is why I'm still maintaining that we have to keep that number there, because we've been told by them that it's 916, so that tomorrow they don't change. You must hold them accountable on the number that they've given us, because they must be aware that when they appear before the committee, they must not play games. They must give us the accurate information so that tomorrow they can be able to stand up and account for the information that they provided to us. Otherwise, we'll be tempted to join their game also, changing the numbers unnecessarily. Another one, please.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know how we proceed. Let me first, I'm worried in case we are on record. Let me first indicate that last TV's comment I made earlier was really off record. Because I wouldn't know when the cameras are working and when they are not working. So I would say something in the context of 9, 10 people sitting in a room, and yet maybe the whole South Africa might be listening, and it might really be the discussion here, and unfortunately I've really been paying so much attention to the commission. I've also been talking to them directly. So I submit, Chair, the issues are more complex. The situations do fluctuate, Chair, just like the rent. It does. You measure it today, 12 grand to the US dollar, then the following day is the other. So, yeah. But in my political training, which all of us have been through, I'm not saying I'm the only one, the relationship between quality and quantity. So we must be very, very cautious. We're very, very cautious. It's not a mechanical process that there's one claim there. It is, in actual fact, a very complex process, including a family that can come to you and say, we are 7, only to find the other day they are 11. Because that's a social process. There are certain realities that inform that. And then the other day, they come a year down the line, no, they are 9. There have just been 2 deaths or something. So I'm just saying, Chair, perhaps we just need to be cautious somewhere. But I agree with your comment, Chair, and the spirit of the committee that there's urgency. But I'm just saying, let me, Chair, take you back 2 steps. You'll remember when HSRC presented to us at a workshop, they then said, the guy was talking about the number crunching and hit the data until data speaks the truth. Remember that presentation in E249? He then said, at the current pace, it's going to take 144 years. That's what he said. Now, people know I'm a whip. I then took it to my chief whip at that point to say, hey, look, there's this. Yeah. So I am just saying, Chair, they are pre-1998 claims, but remember the budget. The department sits with what's the total budget for the whole department? About 10 billion. Now, the one that goes to restitution, I know it's 2 billion, it's somewhere there. Now, if of that 2 billion, half a billion is for HR and offices and electricity and water, then maybe they are left with 1.5 billion for this. So, however hard you may write English here, it would really be populism, because the budget would then define the limitations. So I stick with the point, Chair, and quite hardly, I stick with the point that the formulation that is here, let's leave it here. If you want to engage the commission more, because I agree with that principle, all we can say is that, Chair, the commission must present an implementation plan as to when it is, let me do it slowly so that if anyone differs, it's clear where he or she differs here. The commission must present the committee with an implementation plan about the outstanding 916 cases as to how it intends to implement. That politicking. Remember, I'm hard now and deliberate also. As I'm cheap politicking, we can only start to engage from there. Before that point, any other politicking is cheap politicking, I dare say, and I put my head on the floor. It's cheap politicking because we have not quantified, we have not measured the budget. All we know is pre-1998, including my family, is pre-1998. But the reality of the budget, everything, it was said to us at E249 by HSRC. I took it up. I did my work. I took it up. And it was clear that government budgeting can be this far and no further. But, Chair, it's unfortunate to those people in the commission who are not serious about our people's work and the public office they hold. But generally, I just don't think that, Chair, we must put English in a manner that is beyond reasonable. Implementation plan, Chair, is a tool on which to evaluate them. I really submit. Otherwise, really, we really have to call for votes.
I think there were two proposals on the issue of, I think the matter that you are raising is the matter on bullet number two that talks about the finalization,
yeah,
which includes the budget.
Mm. Yes, sir.
So your concern is that we must just leave the sentence as is, not putting the immediate, because the proposal was that, I think the issue of the backlog, it's a concern, even to the public, that is a concern. But the issue that you are raising is the issue of the immediate attention, viewing the number of the claims that have been indicated in the report, that will need billions, because if the claims will need billions of rand, it means that there will be no department.
Mm.
Then the commission has to just pay. Yes, because if the budget of the department is 10 billion,
mm,
then the outstanding claims settled, not finalized, they will need 20 or 30, approximately 20. It means that there will be no department for 2 years, two consecutive years, due to financial, yes, to finalize the settled claims. So I think that is the matter that Honorable Mbuni is raising, the issue of the budget to finalize the second claim. Honorable Sultan.
Thank you, sir. There were just two concerns which drove me to make the suggested amendments to this to this clause too. First one was to make sure that we deliver a quality paragraph. That's why I reconstructed the sentence to say we must just say to be finalized as a concept. Because it was hanging. And then started off by saying the next sentence was saying they constitute so much. That's a fact which was taken here. I'm not contesting anything there. About our concern, or Honorable Mbuni's concern regarding the budget. Remember, there is now an accelerated push, if you like, to make people opt for land rather than money. And so I would want for us to look at it from that angle, that we should not be over concerned about the reasonableness, apparent reasonableness, or otherwise of the budget. Because I think we should respect the fact that Mrs. Kobodo seems to know what she is up to, what Tusk is up to. I think I want to end there. When they say they think they will do the job with the budget that they've got in a given period of time, I think we should respect that. And I want to rest my case there. Thank you.
There was a proposal.
The English part is fine.
I think the measure here was on the immediate attention. The other concern thing is a concern that we have to finalize, the public concern that we have to finalize this backlog, because it was there why we were initiating the amendment, the restitution act. It was they that finalized it, they block. Even now it's a concern. But the matter here, I think, is that one of the immediate attention, which is aligned to the budget. It will suffice if we can maintain that it must be given an attention, not immediate one, because immediate must be aligned to the funding. Immediate can be tomorrow, can be Friday, you know, so all of that. But we agree on the yes, on the content of the sentence. The only thing is that of immediate, that's it. I don't think it makes any
sense. It doesn't make much.
Ah, okay, thank you very much.
I'm also fine, Chair. The implementation plan, Chair, must come.
I think that we must just indicate that we must submit the roadmap.
The one that stated
on how are they going to address this, and also to categorize.
Thank you.
The claims, whether you stay financial compensation or whatever. Yes.
Would they want the state land, communal land, private land, also for state land, or for the
own land, and then cost all the coming out of it, then we can increase for them.
Do you think that will be integrated to that sentence?
Yeah.
Honourable members, any other matter?
Just to clarify the question you raised, how where the CPA comes into that last bullet. What we intended to do here was to show that there is an overlap in the work of between the department and the commission, in the sense that the commission establishes CPA, and when there are problems, they are, as you have seen, a drama. You find the officials of the commission that are running with these CPAs. But in terms of the act, it shouldn't be the commission. The function of the commission is to run with the land claims. The CPA is the department, the DG, and people, you know, mandated by them to do that. So what we are saying is, if this matter of the autonomy of the commission is not dealt with and finalized, so this continuous overlap. This overlap will continue to be a problem. If we are to accelerate land claims, we really have to make sure that officials of the commission do what they are meant to do. And if you look now, we now no longer have, RECAP is not going to be there, so it may be that post settlement support might still fall back to the commission official, at the same time being expected to deal with this complex claim.
I think the explanation is clear. You have touched the last point, the post-settlement support. We told you that while the recap has been transferred, but the grant, the restitution grant, still remain with the restitution, that they will continue the post-settlement support. That is what Ms. Kobo just said.
It's true. They have their Section 42, you know, development
support.
Is it 42C? Right?
42C.
Yes, for support. But how, in fact, the Act did not envisage that the officials of the Commission would actually run with that. They have to release this fund to other relevant departments. So if it's about developing a human settlement, they should facilitate engagement with human settlement and say, these are the funds for this, you know, development of this settlement. If it's about agriculture, they should release that fund based on a proper, you know, planning, business plan, and say, agriculture, this is what you need to work with. But what we have seen over the years was that there was no coordination, and it wasn't easy, and other government departments were not taking up the fund, and they ended up having an in-house post-settlement support. So this is what, I think it goes to what Honorable Mbuni was talking about, that there's a need for engagement for the committee to understand how is this thing going to work going forward.
Thank you. Honorable members, any comments on restitution? If there's none, can we proceed?
Then go to my transport. key benefits flowing from the board goes to traditional counsel. The focus on traditional counsel could make the ICB as a structure for development of armor courses rather than traditional communities. The technical separation of the Ngonyama Trust and the Ngonyama Trust Board could either enhance or inhibit accountability. It is thus necessary for the ICB to table a formal report about this development in order to avoid any confusion in terms of reporting and accountability. Overlap of policies and programs of ICB and government departments, for example, land tenure policy of the ICB and the communal land tenure policy of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. Economic development plans of the ICB and the municipal local economic development plans are as focused. Economic development plans of the ICB and the municipal local economic development plans, as well as the IDP, could further tension between ICB and other government agencies. We need to check this one. The IDP has not resolved perennial questions raised by the Auditor General in relation to asset management. Inability to resolve this matter has implications towards achievement of clean audit. Yeah, the bullet number 3 doesn't make any sense to me.
There's a word missing.
Further cause of.
Honorable members, Honorable Mpapona.
Thank you, Chair. The first bullet point, I'm a little bit conflicted, and maybe the members can just apply their minds to this, because we're saying here it might be seen because of the flow of funds from the board going directly to the traditional council. It might be seen that ITP is trying to develop the armed forces rather than the actual communities on the ground. Now, I'm conflicted because in a way I agree with this, but at the same time, you must remember that the traditional councils are representatives of the people on the ground. That's how it works, is like it. Now, I don't know whether we must take it we must give them the benefit of the doubt and say that the councils will do their work and you know, disperse the benefits to everybody in the community, or whether this statement might be seen as if we are not trusting the armor corps. Now, I'm not swayed on any side. I'm just highlighting that for a possible debate, so that we are not seen to be, you know, talking badly about the armor corps school, maybe. That's the first one. And the second bullet point says that the technical separation of the Ngonyama Trust and the board could either enhance or inhibit accountability. Now, I'm not sure whose accountability we're talking about here. And then the next sentence says the ITP, the board must table a formal report about this development in order to avoid any confusion in terms of reporting and accountability. So I'm a little bit confused if the guys can just explain what they mean, that the board must write a report to avoid confusion in terms of reporting and accountability because of the technical separation. I'm not too clear on this. If you can just get clarity. Thank you, Jim.
Bullet point one, what we were trying to capture here was the discussion by the committee and the board regarding, perhaps this is how we should frame it differently, but there was a kind of an objective and indicator to where, if you look at the entire budget relating to traditional cancers, it was training two traditional cancers as structure. But the committee was saying, but it seems like that's where you end. We do not see, empowerment of communities. And you gave an example about them owning the land themselves, taking charge of their own destiny. So we were trying to capture that. But I agree that as it is, perhaps we might need to actually make it more specific about this training that goes to traditional cancers and not members of these traditional communities. That's the point that we were trying to capture. That's the first point. The second bullet, perhaps it explains the confusion here about this separation of the Ingonyama Trust and the Ingonyama Board. We thought it would be best if this matter could be discussed by this committee with a formal report that says this is how we arrived at this. Because now what you are having is a board that was set up in terms of the amendment of the 1994 legislation to administer the affairs of the trust. Now, you have two institutions, but at the same time, without the trust, you cannot have this board. So I'm not a lawyer. Perhaps we need a legal advice around this. And if I may just use an example, it might not be relevant because in that case you don't have two legislations. But let's just take a normal land reform trust, established in terms of the Trust Property Act or something. So you have a trust and they amongst themselves they get trustees. So that those trustees actually are responsible for the administration. Now, in this case, you have a trust, and Inkisilo is a trustee. But then a decision is taken that you can't have the king, His Majesty the King, administering, get a board to administer this. Mm-hmm. Now, this separation, and if you look, and I think Honorable Chabedin was raising this matter yesterday or day before, about now you have the funds for administration in the trust board, you also have funds for administration on the trust. You have goods and services there. What we're trying to address is to explain this. Perhaps it's a question about, so who, this trust, who is it accountable to Parliament, to this committee? The trust. So if we're going to be having funds of the trust elsewhere, and funds, we are likely to have a situation where we'll end up overseeing the funds of the trust board and not of the trust. So I mean, if we have a full report about this whole thing and the sort of legal reasons around that, and I think there was an idea that we get the Auditor General as well to come here and explain it so that the committee is fully aware of the implication and what this means. It's something that, yes, it's been mentioned, but I think also I suppose that we might need to do a lot more work around it.
Honorable Mpasan.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. On the first point, I think we're on the same page. I just don't want anybody to feel that we have been insulted. So I think we're on the same page with on the first point. The second point, maybe we need to be more specific in terms of what type of formal report we want. Because number one, you're saying table a formal report about this development, about this thing. You know, I think maybe if you can just clarify it more in terms of what the formal report would be. I'm saying this because the chairperson or the judge yesterday, maybe it wasn't deliberate, but he was a little bit sarcastic towards me yesterday when I raised the point and he said, but this thing came from the committee itself. Now the committee, you know, made me, you know. So
I just decided I wasn't there in the past, unfortunately. And again, I was just saying to my colleague that I need to read up on the history of this thing, of how it was actually formed. So we might be wanting a report from them when it is something that we should be deliberating around in this council to say, was that decision made? Maybe we need to review that old decision. Not to change it, but to look at it and make sense of it and say, is it still relevant right now?
To me, the judge was referring to the issue of us making the passing the ITB Act, then in questioning them, because it means that what they are doing, they are implementing what they've done. They are implementing the act. That was my understanding. You have passed the act. Now, when you implement it, then you question. So it means that we have to also ourselves revisit the ITB Act and also maybe invite the Auditor General to come, and because they were also advised by the Auditor General to come and just brief us as a committee on how best can we handle this issue. If it calls for the amendment of the Act, I think that is our responsibility. Yes. Yes, because that is what the judge was saying, that you pass this thing, when we implement it, then you question us, why are we implementing it? Honorable Mbuni.
Chair, thanks. I have the same interpretation like your good self. I'm just raising my voice to support your explanation, but also to persuade my colleague, Honorable Mbabama, that, like you say, Chair, there are two pieces, Sister, there are two pieces of legislation. I seem not to have her attention, but she took offense where we didn't take any, and it would help for her to catch the background. Because where will you read the history of 1994? Oh, okay, thank you. Because I would really, Chair, appreciate the trade where we are. We gel as a committee, even wherever we come from, but in terms of understanding. So judge was saying, to my understanding, Chair, if the statutes that put them in that situation, and statutes are a competence of Parliament, now when Parliament comes to question them, why are you having this trust doing this and having this board doing this? So judge was kind of referring back to Parliament to say, really, are you? And Chair, then it is a political discussion point, but my understanding is that 1994 amendment that created a trust was a compromise in order to usher in a dispensation, a democratic dispensation. Yes, accommodating GATA, definitely. So that's how it came about, this thing. How, I suppose I'm on record so they hear me. So, honoring Babama's landing point is perhaps the review and I think I agree with that point, perhaps to review, but then Chair comes with also a good amendment. What has happened, the Chair, is that over the years, the ITB has been getting bad reflections of even unhealthy tensions with the Auditor General's office. So until AG recommended that they split these two entities. So this is where the chairperson is coming from, and I firmly support. Can we invite the AG to come and present how do they see this political decision manifesting itself in a fair administrative and financial management manner? But also us being able to then see if no, this is unworkable. From where I sit, Chair, it is administratively unworkable. You will have this, you have all other kinds of problems. But how do you deal with the situation? So I'm just saying, Chair, that was that. But I must really apologize if our colleague felt took an offense from whoever we invite. We must invite, they must not come and really offend any of our members. Any. So yeah, it's really unfortunate if there was that. But I think it was just an intellectual statement to say, they are your laws. So
how do you expect us to be answerable for the laws you created? I laughed at that point because I was then realizing it was a very, very clever response. You know, it's correct also, it's technically correct. So, Chair, I support you. Can we have the, what's that? The AG's office and the Ingonyama TV. At some stage, the trust may have to come. I don't know if the people came. Somebody said they need traditional leaders to represent the people. At some point, the trust or the trustee may have to come and also say, this is how Isilo sees the role of the trust. We need to know so that we see where we support, we see where we, at what point we engage and in what manner. Because if you ask now the trust board, they will say, but no, we're not responsible for the trust and the trustee. There are other means for accountability of the trustee, I'm aware, because the Trust Act would be something else. Thank you.
Honourable members, can we delete this thing until we are clarified? That's my proposal. That we delete this until we are clarified as members, because we must not also expose ourselves if we don't understand, you know, the legislation that we are passing. Let's delete it and follow the processes as proposed by members. We go through that Ngonyama Trust Act, we invite the AG, the judge must be here. Are you saying the judge?
He won't come.
I will send Honorable Quintana.
Yes.
Send our invitation. So
don't
like that. But we'll invite the ITB, we'll invite the department, we'll invite the Office of the Auditor General so that we come together, we discuss this thing. So that we, when we continue with this separation, we understand clearly what is it.
I'm not against the proposal, Chair. I'm all for it, if anything. Just with a little rider qualification, if you like, to say, let's be specific on exactly what it is that we want them to answer to and advise them so that when they come with a prepared presentation which addresses our specific concerns. Then we'll have a quality meeting.
Yes, the proposal that we need to give the clear terms of reference, what is it that they must come and present to the committee on that day, so that we are not here then they told us that we didn't inform us that we must we will need this information. Honorable Papa. Which one is the last one?
Where he's talking about the perennial question raised by the Auditor General.
Yeah, it should remain.
I thought we had written bullet 2 on that.
Is it bullet 2?
That's I think it's not bullet 2. Only that bullet. Only bullet 2.
I've said bullet 2.
Yeah.
We wrote bullet 2 on that.
Anything on ITV? Honorable Sultan?
expenditure. Some bullet points, number three. I think we need to reconstruct that sentence. But somebody said that it's very difficult to understand exactly what we're trying to communicate there. I think my point of concern arises from our previous engagement with the ITB a week ago. The fact that there appears to be zero relationship from a functional perspective between them and local governments. So I think we need to find a smarter way of putting, especially the last part of the sentence, starting with the word economic development plan. That's where the emphasis of my concern lies, you know. I can offer an alternative sentence, but first I want us to agree that that is the thing that we want to address here. And I feel it needs and deserves to be addressed, you know. Because we can't have an institution within the country which has got zero relationship with the that sphere of government called local government.
Thanks. The colleagues on the earlier one. I'm trying to formulate, but in the inclusive manner, what we were trying to seek to achieve in terms of us meeting with the trust board, the AG, the department, ourselves, and ideally the trustee, the Zulu King. Yeah. What areas of discussion and all. But it goes something like the practical application and institutional operation, right, of the Ingonyama Trust in relation to Ingonyama Trust Board. These are the two. Yeah. With specific reference to sub-areas, there will be about five or six, but I'm at two now. The mandate of the legislative framework. Someone must just review, each one of them must then discuss one area of the mandate and legislative framework. What is the mandate of this? What is the mandate of that? From the point of view of the department, from the point of view of the AG, from the point of view of the CELO, from the point of view of the board, and so on. Then the relations among and between the department, the trust board. Then you will then go to the HR function and the financial function. Program planning and space, spatial, the offices, program planning and all that. So in other words, what's the program of the trust itself versus what is the program of the trust board? Or is the trust just Uvimba? You know, Uvimba is because you see the trust is cross subsidizing the trust board. So yeah. So I would say Chair that only I've been asked to Chair for a minute. I would say that basically, I would ask if the team feels that that's a clearer formulation or it still needs to be refined in terms of the correspondence that will be dispatched. Basically, that is that, and it takes care with that item that would then be taken care of incorporating really your point on earlier on before me, and that is taking care of the ITB discussion. Yeah. Chair, basically, all I added, I think you had part of Honorable Filzane's contribution. All I was adding was the specific formulation, because people wanted to say, we're suggesting that let's be clear what we're asking them to come and do. So these are the areas, and I would think that they would then need a specific date to, I mean, where we can take the whole morning. Yes.
from 10 up to 1 o'clock lunchtime, just discussing this, and each one must tell us about this area.
I don't know because they must be clear. AG must say, this is how we see these two operating. And then these trusts and trust boards must say, this is how we use space, this is how we get money. So if the CEO or an HR of the trust board is given a mandate directly by the trustee, does it work that way? Does the trustee go to the trust board and give a direct mandate? I didn't take any DM last 7 series, please, need later by next week. No, it could be a practical situation that happens. Let's get that clear. And ultimately, like Honorable Babama was saying, probably see if we don't need to close shop about certain other. It was a sunset clause, for goodness sake. It's now 21 years later. Maybe we may live with the KZN living like the rest of South Africa in terms of but again, I'm saying I'm cautious on that one until we hear them out. Chair, I think you're taking over the next hand, Honorable Babama.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. I think the reason why I need to read the history or get a sense of the history is my question next week to the committee is CEO Wabo has every right to set, maybe it's a question, so I'm not saying he has, that did he have every right to set up a trust with part of land in his province, putting in better format. If he had a right to do that, then the trust is legit. There's nothing wrong with the trust. But the trust act is done properly, there's no problem there. But somewhere along the line, whether it was for sunset clauses, which I don't quite understand, I was a politician there, but whatever it was, whatever compromise it was, somebody in government felt that we had as government to have a hand in monitoring, I don't want to say controlling, but monitoring this whole thing. Now the problem we're sitting with is that the CEO of that trust that could have been legitimately done without government is sitting in the board, and the board reports to government. And even the CEO himself is sitting in the trust, which also reports to government. Now, again, in my mind, and I may be wrong, but again, it becomes a bit sensitive in terms of calling a CEO up, and because all he wanted to do was attract for his people and do development for his people. So to me, it becomes a little bit difficult, especially now, also, when we're talking about the rights of the trustees within the board. Do they all have equal rights within the board? What happens exactly? You know, so I'm just raising these questions because they're just going through my mind. And I'm actually tiptoeing around the whole issue. If you get what I mean, Chair.
You will keep tiptoeing until we have that meeting. Because currently I don't think there's anyone who will be responsible or can be able to answer the question, as we, all of us here were confused about these two things. That is why we're proposing a meeting. But my proposal was that because they can't say in the report they must come with that and that and that, but I think it must be noted by our support staff that when those invites are being issued, they must just indicate what is it that we need. But in the report, we must just say, as a committee, there's a need for us to have a joint meeting so that this matter of the trust and the trust board is being clarified. Is that right?
Yeah.
Any matter on the issue of the ITB?
Mm-hmm. You were sharing when I raised the mic.
We just wanted to, I mean, it's something that we picked up during the discussion in the conference with my colleagues, but perhaps we should also add what the OVG was saying in trying to assist the boards to comply with the audit agenda, that they are beginning to work together around property valuation in that.
The relationship of the OVG and the ITB. And we just judges also confirm that.
Now, Chair, Udizi is at liberty to re-raise whatever busy parking something. But Chair, I don't know about SALGA in the empty stage. It's becoming bigger and bigger in the Abawa empty stage. In that the tension is between the board and SALGA also in the other. And they took each other to court in the Maritzburg case they cited. Yeah, they took each other to court. So probably SALGA or a KZN chapter of SALGA could also be kind of invited as well, Chair, with that motivation. The pension, therefore, gets to also be with SALGA. In fact, ITB last week said, there's no, by these and let me do IDP.
Mm-hmm.
They said there's no IDP, and one had a sense that if SALGA was here, SALGA would have wanted to engage with that, and sharply differ, obviously. So perhaps, Chair, even SALGA, if this takes us back to our organizations to say something is not sitting comfortably in government, so be it. I mean, Chair, because we're sitting with a contradiction, to be clear. We're sitting with a contradiction. So let us have that session, listen, and take back to our organization something that says, mandate us, what next? An amendment, a dissolution, or a what? Chair, like I said, usually we had a point there, and I don't usually take meticulous notes like this.
Honorable Victor.
Okay, the point I raised, Chair, was based on bullet point number 3 on page 19, towards the end of the second line, the substantive economic development plans of the ITB, right to the end. And I was proposing that to reconstruct it. And what I would suggest, especially given the discussion we've just had on bullet point number 1, is to say the apparent lack of coordination of the ITB's plans with the local government needs to be refined, just to put it softly. Then knowing that we'll put it as an agenda item, for the proposed meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I think the writer was trying to address that issue. Mm-hmm. And I thought just to spruce up the sentence, obviously, that's what I would suggest. Thanks, Chair.
Poor working relationship between ITB and local government. I think we agree on that one. Any other matter on the issue of ITB? I think while we are concerned about other things, obviously the recommendations are coming.
Mm.
So let's look at the recommendations. As I was saying, that when we're dealing about the findings, obviously the recommendations were coming in. But let's check at the recommendations. Honorable Mbuni.
The recommendations are carried on page 19. The recommendations, once again, Chair, are carried on page 19, item 5. In view, I'll take up to the fourth bullet point, Chair. In view of the observations and key conclusions discussed above, the committee recommends that within 3 months after the adoption of this report by the NA, the Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform should, under administration, bullet point 1, build, I start with build, capacity within the policy and research unit in order to ensure that there's policy synergy as well as finalization of the various policy and legislative processes initiated over the last few years. 2, enhance the capacity of the monitoring and evaluation component of the corporate services to ensure that the department has capacity to conduct outcome-based and socio-economic outcome-based price analysis of various land reform funds, especially RECAP and 5051, and AgriPAC to establish viability of farming businesses and how it benefits the intended beneficiaries. Thirdly, prioritize the finalization of creating an autonomous commission by creating adequate capacity to support its operation. Further progress report on a submitted plan. Further submit progress report, I'm not sure I'm taking a chance. Further submit progress report on a submitted plan that outline key milestones and total expenditure for the initiative. And lastly, submit a revised legislative program which realistically outlines targets for tables of the planned pieces of legislation to the National Assembly. And the Chair, Lynn Bala P.J. Ngoni.
Honorable P.J. Ngoni, Bala. As I said, that the recommendations must be aligned to the findings. The issue of the autonomy of the commission, does it fall under administration or under the restitution? Because the restitution finding is something on the autonomy under restitution. So I think you must place it correctly. Then. It's also here under administration to bullet number four.
Yeah. But I think it is under restitution. Restitution should drive it, but you also need administration of the department playing an important role towards the realization. Because you then need the minister and the team working together with the chief and the commission. So, yeah, I mean, it depends where the committee wants it. But if you want to put it to the under restriction, we can just put it under the commission, as we are recommending to the minister.
Another
question?
If she's on a slightly different point here on the administration, but if you look at the top of the, I don't know whether you want to conclude the first discussion first, or whether I should go in, because you are on a slightly different point. Should I? If you look at how the recommendations view of the observations and key conclusions discussed, what the committee recommends that within 3 months after the adoption of this report by the National Assembly, the Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform should then it starts listing all the recommendations. Now, what's the exact action step that you require from the Minister? Or are we expecting you to report on each one of these points, or are we leaving it open-ended, or are we going to ask specifically in our recommendation, each individual recommendation, this is what we want, and the department mm-hmm. should report back on it? Just from, in terms of how we structure it, I'm not really asking. I would actually suggest we look at each recommendation and each of the points. If we want the department to report back, we include it there. It's just a bit wide for it. If you sat everything in 3 months, it's not quite clear what specifically you want in 3 months' time. But if you take each one of the individual recommendations and indicate there, then I think it's more clear. If you follow what I'm saying.
Are you saying in each and every recommendation we indicated the time frame?
Where appropriate, can I give you maybe an example of what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say to build capacity within the policy and the research unit in order to ensure that there's policy synergy as well as finalization of the various policy and legislative processes initiated over the last few years, and report to the committee within 3 months. That you could do it in that manner rather than have a generalized comment right in the beginning. I think you should actually be specific in the recommendations as you do it.
Is it not covered by the first paragraph thing? Because the first paragraph covers all the recommendations, that in each and every recommendation you have to get the progress report in 3 months' time.
Chair, can we then include that in the wording in view of the right in the beginning, that you then say and report to the committee within 3 months or something about a progress report.
Or provide a progress
right.
report.
Chair, I'm just going to kindly refer our support officials to their standard articulation of what is Program 1 across all departments of state and on from the Treasury regulation. And perhaps not for this one, for other future reports, we may need to go to those areas of what should be Program 1. They include the HR, the corporate, so Program 1 has typically about 5-6 sub-areas that are typical, classical Program 1 issues in any department you ever go into. That's why it's easy to get someone who's at HR saying, no, when I was in HR at Treasury, when I was in HR at... So there are those areas so that in future, our report under administration should be very, very standard. Even where the department has not responded on something, it's issues like it includes issues like the toll-free numbers, the corruption watch, the corruption barometer of some sort. Corruption watch is an institution. All those they go under Program 1. The leaves, the staff leaves, and all those. So under Program 1, through your chair, Dr. Manez and the team, that's what you have. What you get under administration. And it's very, very important to have that. The vacancy rate is part of the administration. And so the acting appointments, the things that people do, HR in HR institutions, then you ask certain questions, or ask at quota honor, what do you think of acting appointments? I had to respond to a panel on that. So I'm just saying, Chair, that's a general comment I'm making, so that in future we just get our Program 1 structured in that manner. I would agree with you, Chair, a number of other things fit into programs here. That's why then I'm making a contribution about how we should look at Program 1. The number of other issues, agri-parks, whatever, but the bills and the policies, I think they could be Program 1. The bills and policies, because the bullet point 2 is on policies and things. Bullet point last is on the bills and the legislative program. That's part of Program 1, Chair, I would agree. But quite a number of others, like the one goes to commission, the one goes elsewhere. Yeah. Thank you. For now, Chair, maybe we can deal with them as they are there and compromise them. Yeah.
I think that has been noted. And also to just add that in future, I think we need to be advised on the resolutions that were taken in the previous financial year that were not implemented, so that we keep on putting those resolutions, because we can't keep on, you know, leaving other resolutions, making new ones. We must be up, you know, we must be clear which resolutions were implemented and also which resolutions were not implemented. Then the issue of the vacancy rate. There's something essential about Tembi, not a poker, because we have to listen. There's something that you have said with regards to the impact of this compensation of the decrease in the budget allocation. Because we're told that if they engage the Treasury on the critical vacant position, then maybe the Treasury can give them a go ahead to recruit. I think we need to craft a resolution, Chililo, on that one, the continuous engagement with Treasury on the vacant funded, critical vacant funded post for those positions to be filled. Any other recommendation on under administration? If there's none.
Obviously, the two falls off and all the other semantical issues will then be done. I don't want to raise I'm just saying the drafting team will then go back and polish up. Maybe they're pressed for time.
You may have missed. You said which part of the commission will take it to the commission.
To the commission, yes.
And we initial legislation, they state here. And those two, because what we are talking about is the capacity, is bringing more people, and the research is in the DG's office in admin, and corporate service is still part of admin. So it's more about the vacancies and all.
Okay.
Then I wish to go back to the report and do justice to what would be under administration from the base document of the APP, and then tease out and from the members' questions that there were. Just beef up that section a little bit on where we think they should, we want to have a resolution on the report.
It has been noted. Can we proceed to the next one? National Geometric Management Service. I'm chairing, I can't be arrested. Bullet 1, submit a report to the National Assembly about the transfer of administration of the Zuluma to the Presidency, indicating implications for funding, personnel, and parliamentary oversight. By Parliament, I think that one must be deleted. Further, the report must indicate how the transfer will empower municipalities in terms of development planning and improve service delivery. Second bullet, engage traditional leaders and other stakeholders to resolve some of the challenges and objections to the implementation of the Spatial Planning and Land Use Management Act. Further report to the National Assembly the outcome of such engagement. I think under GeoMet, that is the only two recommendations. Any other recommendation, Honorable Chairman?
On the last bullet point, when they say other stakeholders, not sure if the department will necessarily invite local governments. And I would want to suggest that to be specific, because they are one stakeholder that is directly affected by this movement. Or even if we say other stakeholders, including local governments.
Including SELDA?
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking that COPTA is local government and traditional. But if now we separate whether because they've put engaged traditional leaders and other stakeholders. Must we be specific?
Yeah, this was specific. Yeah.
Okay. Not a treatment or another whole quarter?
Chair, I think I don't think anyone disagrees with the traditional leaders and other stakeholders, including the local government. I don't think there's a point of disagreement, but I do think it is a question of emphasis. I would be very concerned if this is consult traditional leaders and only local government, and the rest is an afterthought. I think the key point is that key stakeholders need to be consulted, including local government and traditional leaders, rather than making it sound like the other stakeholders is an afterthought. So I would actually phrase it that way: engage stakeholders, including traditional leaders and local government, to resolve some of the challenges and objectives. I would word it that way.
Then we did it. We did it other stakeholders. Okay. I think it has been noted and agreed upon. Then under the findings, you've mentioned something about ICADAS. What is the recommendation? Progress report on the investigation or what? Because the finding must go together with the recommendation. What is it that we're recommending on bullet 2?
So what we do know is that there's been ongoing investigations, and that report has not been tested to this committee. So we need to ask for that
report.
And perhaps with future actions around, because in the plan, there's a piece of legislation, the electronic, what is it called? So what is this that they will be doing? So it's kind of amplifying the stuff that we were talking about yesterday in terms of the operation, but beginning with the report, what are their findings and what are they doing about the recommendations from that report,
okay.
If that has been completed, we're not sure.
Okay, we recommend that the committee be provided with the progress report on the investigation that is being done with regards to the ICADAS project. Do you agree on that recommendation? I was saying that we need to come with a recommendation that is you need to get a progress report,
yeah,
on quarterly basis with regards to the investigation on the ICADAS project. Thank you very much. Any other recommendation under national geometry? Can you proceed the rural development, Honorable Mpapwa? Here are the recommendations, Honourable Member. Do we agree to the recommendations or want to change, amend, or Honourable Walter?
Chair, I really think there's one more alignment of thinking in this in terms of the kind of things that we're looking for now. If I look at the first bullet point, work with the National Treasury, that and other relevant government reports, I think there's no disagreement with the principle. I just wonder whether one shouldn't also include a section there about the ability of the department to report on what's happening across the board. It's one thing to review all the programs, but you'd say a monitoring system is better. I think one can work in a component like that. I think the intention is that one can follow what outcomes are being achieved across multiple departments and levels of government. That's what one's after. So it's not just reviewing the programs, it also needs to come up with a system like that. But beyond that, it's certainly the kind of principle on this board.
Because we have mentioned something also on the AgriPax, that we need to get the progress report on the AgriPax quarterly report on the progress made with regards to the AgriPax. Not sure on the issue of this 1H. We have said something that we need to, those policies must be submitted before, must be submitted to the committee. Okay. Anything on page on the rural development, Honourable Members? Honourable Peter?
Yes, Chair. The very first word, Chair, I wish we could agree that instead of saying web, say consult.
Oh, consult.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then at the end of the second point, we end up by saying, and make appropriate recommendations. Well, they could very well conduct a review of the NASDAQ program and just end there. This was specific and say they must make appropriate recommendations based on what the assessment, you know, reveals. It's just to be complete.
And that report be submitted to the committee.
Yeah.
Mr.
Shushu? the point that Walter and then he said Walter by the name of Walter.
He raised a point, and I'm not too sure I followed what you were saying in terms of this recommendation. You are agreeing with the principle that there has to be consultation, to use Honorable Sultan's consultation about this department. So from what you were saying, it sounded like we need to put DPME, because they are the ones that have an overarching sort of view around what they're doing in government. But I just wanted to capture the recommendation. Correct.
Honorable
Lordship.
Was the report to be submitted to the committee? Can I move to resolution?
Restitution, Commission on Restitution of Land Rights, bullet point one, continuously engage National Treasury about increasing allocation of funding for restitution to clear the commitment register of settled land claims. Bullet point two, review and assess the statistics of all the land claims lodged prior to 31st December 1998 in order to give a definite answer about what number of land claims are outstanding for settlement and finalisation. Further engage National Treasury about the funds required to accelerate the settlement of the land claims. Point three, prioritise research on the 963-1998 land claims and ensure monitoring of research conducted by service providers, i.e. research organisations and academic institutions, to ensure that research factors is useful for settlement of land claims and can stand the test at the land claims court if need arises to refer matters to court. Bullet point four, develop mechanisms to track the use of Section 4C development grants by beneficiaries of land restitution. Further submit a comprehensive report on funding released by the Commission to the RECAP, detailing the amounts of communities targeted and what the amounts were used for. Further reports about communities who qualified for Section 42C support but their funds have not been released by 31 March 2017. Bullet point five, conduct an analysis of the commitment register to a certain number of communities or individuals that the Commission owes, age analysis of each commitment, and develop a time-bound plan with which these commitments will be.
Any comment from the members on restitution? We have mentioned the issue of this of the untraceable link, that the restitution must work with other government departments to ensure that the issue of the untraceable claims is being finalized. We have said yesterday that they can work with the Department of Home Affairs, SASA, so that they can claim, they can trace the untraceable beneficiaries, because obviously their identity numbers are on the application forms. Any other matter, Honorable Walters, Honorable Sultan?
Actually something that occurred to me outside of the committee as I was dealing with some land claims from Pacific people that have been waiting for 17 years. There seems to be a problem with feedback. People not getting feedback as to where they stand, running off the department, and there seems to be a problem with people not knowing where they stand with the claim that they've lodged. And I was wondering if it can be added in prioritized research or somewhere here if you can add in the idea of mechanism where people, especially pre-1998 case, but I think it's going to extend beyond the legislation, comes in a board to a link that they can go to where they can see exactly what the status of the claim is, because at the moment it's difficult for us as politicians to give feedback if the department itself won't have it. You know, so I think that there is some need for a feedback mechanism.
Can I propose that we put that on the findings, that there's a lack of communication with regards to the claim status of the beneficiaries? Then we recommend that the commission must improve communication with beneficiaries, update them about the status of their claim. At what stage are their claims? Can we agree on that one?
Yep.
Another assistant?
Thank you, sir. Bullet point number 3, second line from the bottom thereof, to the word settlement. Since this word in this context has got a technical meaning, how about substituting it with the word finalization? Simply because it carries a technical meaning.
Finalization of it.
But also, the extreme problematic.
But I understand what Honorable Kistana is saying, the finalization.
Yeah.
Because we need funds to finalize.
Yeah.
Either we buy land or we provide financial compensation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that must be corrected.
Yeah.
I think Honorable Kistana is right, because settlement is just the approval.
Yeah, exactly.
But finalization, that is where we need money, either to provide alternative land or to provide financial compensation. Any other matter on restitution? Can you proceed? The caucus must stop then. Can you proceed?
Can I proceed, sir? Land report.
Which is the dog has it.
Doctor, you must come on time. You must not wait for us.
No one to speak. Then
let's listen.
Speed,
let's listen to the doctor speaking.
No. We were just
conferring
with Sandy, and we were not too sure what you meant, Honourable President. Because the context here is that you need research in order to settle things. So, and one
which bullet are you talking about?
Bullet three.
The one
that
raised.
Okay.
I thought that Honorable Kistana is raising that on bullet 2, the last sentence. That better engage National Treasury about the funds required to accelerate the settlement. That is when I said, instead of settlement, the finalization of the land claims.
Oh, were you not on bullet 3?
That's on bullet 3.
You weren't
bullet
2. Bullet
2.
It's bullet 2, that one.
So Chair is referring to bullet 2.
I have gone straight to bullet 3. Second line from the forum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you read
bullet
3?
So
what is that bullet 2?
So let's take bullet 2. We agree with that to say it accelerates, you know, finalization. Then when we come to bullet 3, it's about research in order to settle.
To settle, yes.
Yeah, so it is for the settlement. But then we go, so maybe we might put 3 as 2, and so it makes sense, there's a flaw.
Okay.
So we research, we settle, then we
and
need
finalize.
Money to finalize.
Yeah.
That's a doctor of duty.
And prof next to him is at my honorable prof.
Yeah. The fundis. For assisting us, I think if we can just indicate that following the various steps of the lodgement process, settlement research, you know, all this verification, settlement, and also finalization. Any other matter on restitution? Can we proceed to land reform?
Okay. Land reform. In short, that the pace of the land redistribution is increased by finalizing policy frameworks to guide an interface of
covers the entire chain of
for acquisition of strategically located land.
Over the MTEF period, conduct enterprise analysis and socio-economic impact assessment of a sample of LIDP, a 50-50 and other plus funds in order to assess whether government funds are invested under this program were yielding viable and sustainable farming business. Further increase capacity of the DLR to monitor land reform projects, especially an interface strategic partnership and mentorship programs and distribution of resources to members of the Communal Property Institute. Submit a progress report on the AgriPact 50-50 pilot projects, one household, one hectare program. Amongst others, the report should indicate the extent to which these programs target marginal groups such as women, youth, and people living with disabilities. First, check the finalization of the integrated funding model, together with Treasury and the Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries, and ensure that this completed by the end of the 2017-2018 financial year. The obvious grammar.
Thank you very much, Honorable President. Any other matter on the land reform? Where do you put the one household, one account?
Two cows.
I think it must be added on bullet number four. Because we also need a progress report on this. Since you have highlighted. We will come on that one for notice. And also the fast tracking, that last bullet. Since, because I think we were talking about this when we were talking about the CAP and RECAP. Now RECAP has been transferred to the Department of Agriculture. Is this still relevant? Because if I remember well, this recommendation also appeared in our previous year report. Is it still relevant? Any other matter that honorable members want to raise?
It's very small thing, I'm seeing you there, but it's a useful one. So Chair, on page 17 there, from Oral Makadar, the intersection, it should be, remember so when you talk about 1H, what was the next car?
Yeah.
So it should be 1HH2DC, but then I'm just saying, just for record.
Thank you. Honorable President.
Back to page 20, the second bullet point. Over the MTEF period. Are we trying to say these people should only to take the whole MTEF period before they give us this report? Is this what we want? I don't think so, in the spirit of what we agreed upon a week ago, that we want to, I know we're talking in the context of AgriPact. I think it's too long a period, because if we don't put pressure on them to give us, you know, regular reports, let's say annual, because these programs are not that much new. These programs must have yielded some results by now. I would rather say annual.
The socio-economic impact be done annual. That is what you are proposing.
Yes, Honorable Chair.
Because on the fourth bullet, you have said they must give us the progress report on AgriPact 50-50, one household, two cows. Then the impact assessment, because other programs here, they are new. Whether, Honorable Member, can I talk to that proposal?
Okay, can I?
Let me hear from honorable members first to advise. Honorable member. That the MTEF is quite a long period. Why can't we request that the department provide us with a socio-economic impact assessment on a yearly basis? possible, is it not possible? If it's not possible, then can you come out with the accurate or realistic timeframe? Honorable Chabelle?
I think it depends on the progress.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if it's a program that with a, like for instance, one, two vehicles, one family, it's very easy to monitor that one. You can actually say they must give us quarterly reports. And group the community, how many families because you see the other experience with some of the programs, they happened in other provinces where you give people cattle and then the person who was part of the project as the chairperson or head of the family dies and there is no visit to bury, no slaughter that comes. So we need to know how many got eaten and how many are still alive.
I think that one will be covered by bullet number 4.
Okay.
The progress report. What Honorable Chabeling is raising. Bullet 4 will cover what Honorable Chabeling is raising. But here we're talking about the impact, socio-economic impact, whether that program has changed the lives of the people, you know, fighting hunger, you know, job poverty, taking a person from one level to the next level. That is what we want. But what I'm saying is that is it possible that we do that on yearly basis or as indicated on the report? Chililo?
The idea here was to have two levels. The idea was to have two levels where we can have progress report about what's happening, as the chairperson said. So we can say in 3 months, we want to know what's happening with the different cows, what's happening with the cows. But having listened to your idea about socio-economic impact analysis, that must be a very thorough, and it cannot be a desktop exercise.
Mm.
So you might need to sample certain sites across the country and send people. So having that annual for all the 5 programs, I think it's unrealistic. Unless if you, what we thought here is that we're giving the department a kind of a space to say over the next 3 years, we will start with recap, then do another project. Because, I mean, you really want them to come back here and say, this is how this program impacted on the lives of people. But if we say annually or 3 months, they might go and do a desktop and come back with a number. And then we do not tell you about the lives of the beneficiaries in terms of the job, putting bread on the table, how has that improved their life, their livelihood. So we thought that over the next 3 years, so maybe kind of help them to develop a program that says in this year we will have one, next year we will have two, maybe we should work, rephrase it in that manner. I'm not sure whether it's helpful.
You will not die. Even if you're not here, other people will be here. So they will keep on checking whether that socioeconomic impact assessment has been made. Chililo, can you cover the issue of the integrated funding model?
Oh.
Still relevant?
And you were right, sir. We decided to bring this back because we do not think that they have moved in this. But with agriculture moving, having taken recap, but there is still some other program within the Department of Rural Development, program within rural development that are actually giving money for agricultural support. For example, animal health, what they call it, management program, the River Valley Catalyst project. So. And perhaps these are not, because we're proposing, and this is what DTM is called, that there are pockets of funding in various government departments. What if not, why not bring them under the same sort of where there will be a proper way of monitoring and bringing that on board. Unless if they say now, because that was the recommendation by this committee, unless if the committee says no, let's not go there. But I think if council helps to ensure that the two departments particularly still work together around process and support.
Especially in the process that are cutting across the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. Any other matter on land reform, Honorable Papa?
That point arises out of a discussion on the agri-pact and use of strategic partnerships and the whole idea that is the department sure as to whether they are not bailing out failed farmers in a way. Or the other sort of sense we got was that the committee was concerned about monitoring of these strategic partnerships in terms of giving an example, recap, and P50, where you have a commercial farmer, government bought land and gave him money, but he comes back as a partner. But no program of empowerment of the people that he or she is partnering with. So farm workers continue to be farm workers, but yet they are owning land. So there is no clear indication from what we are getting here that there is a kind of a system to monitor this partnership. So and part of the reason is that there is no capacity, especially in terms of the human resources. So we're seeing the budgets are going down, we're seeing the inactive. So there's a motivation that the department must build up capacity to monitor this land reform project, how strategic partnerships and mentorship programs work with communal property institutions. That will be your CPAs and trusts.
Honorable Papa.
Thank you, Chair. So what you're saying essentially is somewhere in the future, because the budget is there. I mean, we can't affect the figures for them to increase the capacity within this term, or can you? That's what concerning me. We can recommend that they increase capacity, but to me, they're restricted by the budget. They've already budgeted for the capacity that they have. I don't see how they can do it unless we're talking in the future. And then secondly, the second part of the sentence says, and distribution of resources to members of the Communal Property Institute. Could you explain that as well, please?
I think here, Honorable Papa, within the department, there were people who were responsible for the monitoring of the land reform project. But it was not enough because some of the projects were not monitored. Then the department will start to know about the challenges that those beneficiaries are facing when maybe it's appearing on the media and whatever. So I think the recommendation is informed by that they have to increase the capacity. Since the recap is not there, they can just shift some of the people, you know, to the other section because we are aware of the treasury decision. Then secondly, I think the one of the distribution of the resources to members of the, I think members of the CPA. Yes. But I'm not sure where does this recommendation come from. Maybe Chidilo, this one you will explain it. But also when talking of increasing the capacity to monitor the land reform, we must think about this flood farm. We know that there were farms, the department told us that they are busy auditing these flood farms because they are not aware who's occupying what farm. So they were just buying these farms, then provinces were allocating these farms anyhow. There's no record. That is why they are unable to generate the revenue. Yes, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, where they said they have to just improve on the revenue, on the debt collection. I think it was based on this, especially on this plus farm, because people are occupying those farms, they are working on those farms, but they don't pay anything to the department.
Yes, you are right, Chair. It is one of the areas for monitoring in plus. And if you remember, the CFO, the previous time, spoke about them setting up a project management team, which was not there before, which will then monitor this fund. So when we speak about capacity, and she specifically spoke about them coming for 3 years and then transferring skills to officials within the department. So part of this is around building internal capacity to ensure that monitoring of projects or land reform funds, you know, takes place. I mean, one of the, if we were to talk about land reform generally, if you were monitoring land reform correctly, you would not have a situation where a farm is sold, a CPA farm is sold, but government doesn't know that it is sold. It only knows when perhaps people are fighting or something. But if there was a system of monitoring this farm, you would know. You will not have a situation where, in terms of the distribution of resources, where you keep paying recap funds to this project, yet 3 years down the line, members of this CPA have not received no dividends, nothing, no results. There is no benefit whatsoever coming out of this. So I agree with you, maybe we need to rewrite this thing to make it clear. It's about distribution of, you know, building up a business, but just at the same time, taking care of these members of these entities. Because if they are part of business enterprises that do not yield any benefits, that's where we start to see them fighting and thinking that so-and-so is actually channeling the funds to his or own pocket and tensions and conflict. How do members of communities, of these CPAs and trusts, benefit from this partnership? Yes, it's about setting up business, but it's also about the lives of these people. So I agree with you that perhaps we just need to tighten it a little bit and become more specific about what we mean by this.
Thank you, Chair. Mm-hmm.
Beneficiation. The issue of yesterday the department had the issue of the second land audit. The draft second land audit, that is whether they said they've tabled it to cabinet or it should be tabled to cabinet. I think we need to say something on the recommendation as a finding. That the second land audit, what is the draft, you'll see with me, Milona Jani, the second draft land audit report is with the cabinet. After cabinet approval, it will be tabled through the committee. Then we recommend, then on the other side, that after it has been finalized, must be tabled to the committee. The last one, Ingonyama Transport.
Economically benefited from the ITP program. The report to be considered.
the committee. Any other matter? On ITB? The recommendation on ITB? I think we have to put something on the outstanding. I was just checking the outstanding policies that have to be finalized. And we have been talking about this matter for, I think, even if you check the previous reports. Because that is why they keep on funding everything, animal carpets, cutlery, events, because they don't have any, they don't have policies in place. I think we have to check our previous report, those recommendations that were, those resolutions that were not implemented, to just put them again here. Honorable members, anything on ITB? I think we've come to the conclusion of this report. Can I then take this opportunity to thank you? It was a hectic, you know, reading, analyzing, commenting, you know, it's not an easy task. Our support staff will go and integrate all our comments, refine them, then we'll communicate with the secretary and see where can we have the short, I think it is the short meeting, where we can be looking at that draft and adopt it before it is 86. As I've indicated, that we have to debate, the budget vote is on the 19th, so you will be informed accordingly by our to be finalized, we're going to meet the deadline. So I'm informed that we can also meet, can meet on Wednesday. I think we'll meet the time frames because the report is supposed to be 86 within a few hours before the debate is in the house. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned. You know, there's no lunch. We need to make a social impact assessment. Well, you're not voting on it. You can't destroy it now. If you have noticed something, then you have a problem with your referral.
Thank you.